You want to open your Bibles to Revelation 17. Revelation 17, we had talked a little bit the last few services anyway about this woman in Revelation 17, and I've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of folks about this issue, about this truth in the Bible, and a lot of Baptists say, well, that's just not right, that's not true, that's not what that means. Well, I'm going to lay out some more of the case tonight, and you be the jury. But, you know, I'm not going to change what I believe, even if y'all don't believe what I'm saying, because I believe what this is. I'm 100% sure what God's saying here. But the thing is, the Baptist and Methodist Presbyterians, most every Bible believer, and there used to be all be Bible believers back 70 years ago, 100 years ago, but most everybody believed you got saved, you were sealed, and, you know, some people had some issues with the water part. But, and they believed that they all agreed who this woman was in Revelation 17. And here we are in the last days of the church age and this great falling away of the church. And people don't believe what they used to believe. They'd rather believe something that gives them some warm, fuzzy feeling inside than what the Bible says. And they would rather not have, you know, can't we just all get along? You've heard that before. Can't we just all get along? Well, yeah, if we're going the same direction and we have the same belief and it's biblical, amen, and we want everybody to get saved. We don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. But we also don't want to see the church doctrine go to hell, which is where most of it went in the last, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. But by the grace of God, we'll look at a few things tonight. And some of these things, just amazing. Begin reading in verse number 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-covered beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and seven horns, and ten horns, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which this woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And that sounds a little bit confusing, but the fact is, it's the same person shows up twice, the same king that shows up twice, and I do believe it's probably Alexander the Great. He'll show up in a, you know, same spirit. But I don't know about all that for sure. But it does. It is one that shows up twice. That's why the numbers get kind of confusing there. And it says that he is one of the seven. The eighth one is. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Praise God. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. All right, now, I've even heard people say, even Baptists say, well, you know, I used to think that woman was Rome, but now I believe it might be talking about Mystery Babylon religion in Jerusalem and all this kind of weird stuff, which nobody thought that 100 years ago or 200 years ago. I'm telling you, when you get into this movement that we talked about Sunday, this movement of the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist, you will be deceived. If the devil can get you caught up in that movement, you're going to be deceived. You're going to believe all kinds of goofy stuff. You get too far down the road, God might even give you that delusion. You believe whatever you want. But here's the thing. We're going to look at some things here about these verses that we just read, and you make up your own mind. I'll tell you who I believe it is, and if you don't believe it, that's fine. You're messed up in the latter days of the church age, is all I can tell you. But we'll look at this, and again, if you know people that, I know a lot of people, I grew up with people that are Catholic. I run into people who are Catholics all the time. We tell them about Jesus Christ, want them to get saved, don't wish them any ill. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, neither do I. But the thing is, we got to understand what's going on in these last days. And I want to try to nail this down for you tonight. Because, you know, maybe the other day you thought, I don't know about that. And maybe somebody come along and talk to you and say, well, this is what we believe now. That's what they used to believe. But now we have a better understanding. You know, we always have a better understanding. And our thought processes have evolved because man's getting better and better, obviously, right? And we have a better understanding. And you might go, well, maybe, you know. But I want you to be able to go back to tonight and to the other day and say, hey, you know what? There's a lot more evidence for it than there is against it. Amen. So we look at these first couple of verses, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore which sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And we talked about this last Sunday about these words, this great whore, and what a whore does. A whore will submit to anybody, but give the illusion to submitting to one, but really, she's not. And that's where it comes in, you know, you look at false religion, you look at Jesus Christ. They give the illusion of following Jesus Christ and submitting to him, but they're really not. They'll submit to anything but the truth. And they're not submitting to the Spirit of Christ. They're not even submitting to the right Christ. Remember, the Bible warns against another spirit, another gospel, another Christ, another Jesus. They're talking about another Jesus. Who's your Jesus? He died on the cross, shed his blood to pay your sin debt. He was buried, he rose again, and he's coming back. That's our Jesus, right? That's the Jesus of salvation. But their Jesus is, he died on the cross, but you got to add something to it. You got to take something away from it. You got to put all these other beliefs with it and hope that maybe you get there. Well, that's not our Jesus. And our Jesus is the Jesus of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Our Jesus is the Jesus of 1 John 5:13. These things have I written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. That's our Jesus. We can know. You know you're saved. If you've done what God said to do, realized you were a sinner, called on Jesus Christ, asked him to forgive you and save you, then you know you're saved. And if you've done that from the heart, you should have no doubt about where you're headed eternally. But these two verses, in verse 2 it says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So here's the thing. We had talked about this Sunday, about this particular pope. But you go back all the way down through the line, and they've all been wicked men. And they've all said that they speak for Jesus Christ, and they've all said that what they say is more important than the Word of God. And they can even change the beliefs of church tradition if they decide to. So it's tradition plus their ability to speak instead of God. So obviously, in their opinion, God made some mistakes in the Bible because they don't agree with a lot of the Bible. So if they're speaking for God, what God are they speaking for? Not the God of this Bible, right? And uh, I mean, you can look at them and tell there's something wrong with them. You know. And, you know, why would they speak in a language nobody could understand in their church? Why not just put it out there where everybody can understand it? Because then people go, hey, that don't sound right. You know? But here they are, the one that we have in power now out there, they have in power out there, he's running around all over the place hugging the Muslims, trying to bring everybody together, this ecumenical movement. And the ecumenical movement is nothing more than getting everybody ready to follow the spirit of Antichrist. Well, to follow the Antichrist, but they're already following that spirit because they're following another Christ. And it says, drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now remember, we talked about a whore submitting to anybody but who she should, and give the illusion of submitting to the one that she should. That wine is going to become very important. There's a lot of things to be said about wine, and we'll see a little bit more later on at the end of the study here tonight, why that becomes so important. The wine of her fornication, first of all, we will touch on it a little bit right now, because we had talked about this before. New wine and old wine, they represent blood. That's why, Jesus drank wine. Jesus did not drink fermented wine. He drank pure grape juice. He served pure grape juice to his disciples. And that is a type of the blood. The fermented wine is a type of the blood of man, which is filthy. It's tainted. And you look at the warnings to the Jews about leavened bread and things like that. That's fermentation. That's what that is. That's a leavening agent that puffs it up. And that's the blood of man puffed up. Jesus Christ didn't come puffed up. He come humble, and he deserved all the honor and glory and wanted none of it. He wanted to come to serve. So this wine is, that wine of her fornication is a bad blood that belongs to the Antichrist. Their wine is a type of the blood of the Antichrist. I'm telling you, this is a lot deeper than we ever imagined. I mean, we could study and study and study this thing. Here's that little Pentecostal again running the aisles. But you unplug him and he'll start speaking in tongues. But this wine is a big deal. And then we look at verse number three in Revelation 17. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. Now, that's the right spirit showing him something. And I saw a woman sit on a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. So how do we figure out who this woman is? Well, we've nailed that pretty much down. Who's the beast? Well, look at verse 8. You jump down to verse 8, and it says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. So here, remember, it talks about Jesus Christ that way too. Was and is not, but yet is. Because he was, he always has been. He died on Calvary, yet he still is. So this is the Antichrist. This is the devil. And we can look back to chapter number 12 of Revelation, and we'll see it. We'll nail it down for sure. Revelation 12. Remember, that beast had 7 heads and 10 horns. Verses 3 and 4, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. There's the beast, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child. This is talking about attacking Israel, as soon as it was born. So that's the devil. Look at this. How about that? You start preaching on the devil and he sends company in. But so we've identified who this is. This beast is the devil, and the devil carries the woman. So that woman, Christ is supposed to carry us. We're supposed to be carried by the Spirit of Christ. What's that thing doing? Where's that at? Anyway. Whatever. But they're carried by the Spirit of the Antichrist, which that whore is carried by that spirit, carried by the devil. If that thing starts laying on my head or something, you let me know. Look at verse 4, chapter 17 of Revelation. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked in gold with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. So that golden cup, you can go back through history and you find every pope you want to find. You go all the way back to the first one, go all the way back to Constantine, all the way through the list, and they've always got this cup they're holding up. Right. Something else they've done. And this is the thing, God doesn't allow them to cover it up. Right. And they don't try real hard to cover it up. They actually put it right in your face. You know, the Vatican, do you know they've mint their own money? They have for years. Because they're their own city. They're their own political organization. They have their own money. They have their own leader, which is the Antichrist, or the guy sitting on the throne at the time, but led by that spirit. Their throne, and by the way, that is a throne that he sits on. And he's speaking for Jesus, right? But they have upside down crosses and fish god symbols and all kinds of pagan stuff, and constantly. But some of their coins, I'll just speak about one of them. But one of them has on one side of the coin is a pope, and the other side is a woman holding the golden cup. And under the woman holding the golden cup, there's the word Fides, and that is a pagan goddess's name. They put it right on their coin. They're not hiding it. And if you say, well, you know, you bring it up, they'll go, no, that means something else, or that's something else. But they're not hiding it. The devil's flaunting it, and he's saying, look at this. And he takes pride in getting Bible-believing people or saved people to believe that baloney and to turn a blind eye to this stuff when it's right out there in the open. If it was easy to get people to follow God as it was to follow the devil, boy, this world would be a different place, wouldn't it? But it's just real easy to get people to follow the devil. For some reason, Bible-believing people even will do it. Saved people will do it. Saved Bible-believing people even. But here they put that right out there where you can see it. Now, in verse number 5, it says, and upon her head was the name of written, Mystery Babylon, the great whore, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So she's the mother of the harlots and the abominations of the earth. Now, these harlots, you want to talk about who they are? They tried to escape. Right? Not the Baptists. The Baptists didn't come out of that whore. The Baptist belief system come from before 325 AD or so, where the Roman Catholic Church actually started. We believe what Paul believed. But the Methodists, the Presbyterians, you can go on down the line. All these folks are offshoots of the Catholic Church, the Lutherans. You see, Martin Luther didn't get far enough away. He knew you were saved by grace through faith, but he got all goofy, stayed goofy because of his indoctrination with the transubstantiation. If you know what that is, they believe that their wine and crackers actually turns into the blood and body of Jesus Christ because they're, you know, and if you ask a Lutheran about that today, they'll usually say this, well, we don't think it actually does that, but it comes really close. What's that mean? What's that mean? He says it's a symbolic thing. And Old Testament and New Testament warns us against drinking blood. Right? It's a sin. It's an abomination. It's not supposed to be done. So this mystery Babylon, another interesting thing is, can you trace a name back to Babylon, Nimrod? Remember Nimrod, the mighty hunter? You know what he's hunting down? He's hunting for souls. He wants to destroy people. But Nimrod, supposedly, he passed on. His wife married his son and said that was him reincarnated. And that's the most of the basis for Roman Catholicism is based on that. You want to guess what Nimrod, when it was either Nimrod or his son, his birthday, December 25th. Isn't that interesting? You've been lied to. You've been lied to. I mean, from the time you hit the ground running, you've been lied to. Merry Christmas. Wrong Christ. And if it was the right Christ, why would you put Mass on the end of it? Let's all get together and worship our kids. And teach them how to worship other people. And leave Jesus out of it. Oh, we can mention him once in a while. Or we could just say Xmas. Mr. X. Oh, we don't get into that. There's a big study on Mr. X. Sign with your X. Somebody that doesn't necessarily have the identity. Alexander the Great. You go on down that line. The Xmas is just flat out saying it's the Antichrist day. And they say, well, we don't want to offend anybody. They're not just not offending anybody. They're putting it right in your face. That X is a... X's and O's. X's and O's. Kids write letters. You people know what that means. Hugs and kisses when you put it on the end of a letter. Mr. X, Judas, the son of perdition, you know how he sold Jesus out? With a kiss. X's and O's, hugs and kisses. I mean, doesn't it give you chills when you start seeing how deceived we have been from birth? That's why God says read this book and study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You think you're approved unto God if you're worshiping Easter bunnies and some fat guy that comes down a chimney and forgetting Jesus Christ? You think that's pleasing to God? It's not. I'm telling you, we are so far away from where Jesus Christ wants us and where this book would have us to be that we didn't even realize it. If I'd have told you this the 2 weeks after I got here, you'd have voted me out. Amen. 2 years before I got here, I might have voted me out because I didn't know a lot of this stuff. I didn't believe a lot of this stuff. But here I'm telling you, this stuff is real. And again, I don't want to be a dictator and tell you what you can have in your house, what you can't have in your house, but know what it means. Christmas trees are pagan. They're shaped like the universe. They're shaped like I shall ascend the sides of the north, and there's usually an angel right there that represents the devil. And all the presents under it, because, you know, it's all about us. The whole thing is pagan. And we adopt it and put Jesus on it and say it's all right. Well, I mean, if that's the truth, we just call it Jesus' liquor store down the street, and that'd be all right, too. By that thought process, Jesus' red light district. I mean, where's this end? I hope some of you are probably so innocent you don't know what I just said. But, you know, Jesus' crack cocaine dispensary. Wrong Jesus. Putting the name on there doesn't make it right. Following the true Jesus is how you'll be right. And, you know, I got family members right now that are probably biting. If they hear this, they'll be biting their fingernails off. Well, I raised you with a Christmas tree. Well, now we know who one of them is. But you know what I mean. It's innocent. Nobody knows about it. But once you know about it, you got to prayerfully decide what to do about it. But they're not hiding this stuff. Mystery Babylon. That's what the Mystery Babylon is. That mystery religion is a religion worshiping Nimrod and his wife. Or Nimrod's son and his wife, but they just believe that that was Nimrod reincarnated. He come back as his son. Isn't that funny how it's really close to God coming to earth as his son? And we're supposed to worship God through his son? Think about that. Boy, it gives me chills. Dang it. Starting to get a little nervous. Notice another thing, it says the mother of harlots. What do they call the church? Holy Mother Church. Holy Mother Church. And you know what they believe? They believe that Jesus' mother is the Holy Mother that you need to pray to, and it's not even his mother because it's the wrong Jesus. They're praying to a pagan goddess. They want you to pray to a pagan goddess. I heard, I believe it was a big time Baptist one time, he said this. He said, well, you know, I'm trying to remember if it was Falwell. I don't want to wrongly accuse somebody, so it probably wasn't Falwell. But it was one of those guys that had a really big platform, worldwide platform, and he said, maybe instead of saying, there's a verse in there that says, where he says, fear not, Mary. Maybe he says, we ought to read that, fear not, Mary. Meaning maybe we ought to just start worshiping Mary. I talked to a Roman Catholic doctor, a medical doctor over in Illinois, and I said, look, man, we go straight to God through Jesus Christ. I said, why in the world would you ask your mother or his mother? He goes, well, I'm a grown man. I go to my mama's house. He goes, don't you still ask your mother if you want a cookie out of the cookie jar? I'm not looking for cookies. I'm going to heaven. Amen? That's just stupid. But that's the thought process. That's supposed to explain away the Bible? That illustration? That's ridiculous. But they call themselves the Holy Mother Church. Verse number 6, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. They've been murdering Christians forever. We're going to get into a little more of that later. This is going to really, you'll find out some interesting stuff if you didn't know it already. But they've been murdering Christians forever. And the blood of the martyrs, what are they going to do? That system is going that is being set up right now. Remember we talked about Francis going over and talking to the imams and all that stuff and how they're building this. They're actually almost have it built, maybe have it built, the three worship centers for the Muslims and for the Catholic Christians. And I, when I say Catholic Christians, it doesn't have to be a Catholic. It's anybody that thinks like a Catholic that says they're saved. And then the Jews, all under one roof, because they're bringing everybody together to believe, you know, can't we just all get along? We can forget our doctrinal differences and just hug and kiss. The doctrine is what makes us right or wrong with Jesus Christ. If you don't have right doctrine, you don't have the right Jesus, you don't have the right walk, you don't have the right heart, you're not going to get the right rewards. You're going to get anything. You've got to be lined up with what this book says. And, you know, the whole thing about we talked about Benedict, and he was talking about the Islam and the murderous Islam getting people to convert. Well, that's what they did too. They still do it in some countries. Not all the countries that'll chop your hand off for having a Bible are run by Muslims. A lot of them are run by a political organization called Catholic Church. They run the leaders. They always have. All the kings of the earth that they're talking about here, you can go down through history and see the kings of the earth that they had dealt with and how they, you know, a lot of them were Roman. Constantine, he was the first, pretty much the first pope. He pretty much, well, we'll get into that a little bit later. I don't want to get too far into that. But the whole thing about murdering Christians and murdering saints, they murder saints and then the martyrs. Where are the martyrs? Well, the martyrs, we can talk about Martyrs Mirror, we can talk about Fox's Book of Martyrs, but this same system that's being set up and introduced more openly all the time is the same system that's going to behead the people in the tribulation. It's the same system. Verse number 9 in Revelation 17. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, we talked about that, seven mountains, seven hills. Seven hills of Rome. All hills where that doesn't mean anything. It just happens to be on seven hills. Well, wait until you find out about these seven hills. You know anything about the seven hills? There are seven hills where the pagans used to worship their different gods. I'll give you a list of some of them. Jupiter, Saturn, Venus, Janus, Vesta, Diana, Mars, Mercury, and Sol, which is sun, the sun god. They were Diana. And a lot of the names are the same god. They just change them. Asterisk, Diana. We get into all this stuff. They've been worshiping these gods. You know what they were doing up there? They were having interpersonal physical relations and calling it worship. Try to keep that as clean as I can. And when they had these interpersonal human relationships, it was more than likely anything goes, like it's going to get to be today. They weren't caring about pink and blue. It was wicked. You know what else they did on those hills? They sacrificed Christians. They killed Christians on them hills. Now, why in the world would you build a church, or build a place and call it a church on that mess? Never knew that, did you? You never knew those seven hills had that going on. You're not going to read that in the Catholic Times. But it's just the truth. It's history. Matter of fact, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to back this up because I'll forget something I want to talk about here. So let's look at verse 12. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So they get their power from the beast. These shall make war, verse 14, with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Okay? So that power they get, and they get a unity. They're united in the spirit of Antichrist. Those three worship centers they're building, what they're doing, they're uniting in the spirit of Antichrist. Right? Another interesting thing. I remember telling you they built that in Abu Dhabi? Abu Dhabi is all Muslim. It is the United Arab Emirate is a conglomeration of seven groups of people that are all Muslim, and it is against the law, under penalty of severe penalty, if not death, to be a Christian over there. So why would they have these three things right there? Because it's not real Christianity, and they know it. They can deal with that because they know it's they're following the same spirit. that's what happens with these ten kings. They get together and they get their power from the beast. And 1 hour with the beast. Faster than a Tesla could charge, right? What do they get? They get Antichrist spiritual unity. Because the next verse tells us how we know that. They shall make war with the Lamb. It's opposition to Jesus Christ. And the Lamb shall overcome them. Praise God, we knew that. And he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Oh, praise the Lord. So the ten kings are of one mind, and they submit to serve the beast, which is the spirit of Antichrist, which is the devil. Verse 14, against the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 15 and 16. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the horse sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. You know, across the pond, different places and different waters separating different peoples and multitudes and tongues. Because that great whore has fornicated with all around the world. Matter of fact, we got part of that whore is running this country right now. Or if he is, I mean, if he could find his self. But a lot of our folks are part of that machine. A lot of our so-called leaders, a lot of our so-called justices, if you will, they're part of that machine. And they vote accordingly. They really do. And we've got ourselves in a mess. So the ten horns, verse 16, which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. So isn't that something? God's using this, I'll tell you, God's using this to get his will eventually. But the devil, I'll show you what I mean in just a second. The devil is the pimp for this whore. And what he does is when he can't get anything else out of her, he throws her away. And that's what happens here. He uses her for his purposes, and then he throws her away. He doesn't love her. He doesn't care for her. He's just using her, which is the exact opposite of Christ. Christ loves you, cares for you, and died for you. That's the exact opposite of what's going on here with their false religion. Look what it says in verse 17. For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. You know what his will is? To get rid of that whore that's been causing all these problems. It's time for her to pay the piper for what she's done. And he uses part of her own machine to destroy her. And let's see. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. So the beast takes over that kingdom. So, one world control. Because right, when you have the whore and the kings and the beast, there's a power struggle. Even though they're working together, everybody wants to be number one. Well, guess who gets to be their number one? He destroys the ones that are in their way, and it's the Antichrist. But he's not really number one. We're waiting for Jesus Christ. He's going to fix it all. He's the one. Verse 18, are we sure who this is? And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. That city's had more influence over every king and every country, every people in this world than any other city ever could. Jerusalem's never had that kind of influence. Jerusalem had a focal influence. Now, I grant you that when God's people, Israel, are doing right, that influence flows out. We see some people proselytize into Judaism and all that stuff back in the Old Testament. But the one that's had the most influence over the entire world has always been Rome. You know. Matter of fact, back at the time that Jesus Christ was born under Roman power, guess what we had? Worldwide peace. It was peace through strength because Rome run everything. It was what they call it, Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. You know what they're talking about now? Pax Christi, the peace of Christ. And that's what they're claiming they're bringing in with these ecumenical things. Well, it's a false peace. Remember what happens when the Antichrist shows up? Peace, peace, peace. And everybody goes, man, there's a guy right there. He can bring the Jews and the Muslims together. Remember? The Jews and the Muslims together. Matter of fact, we can mix a little Christianity in there. Isn't that what we're waiting for? Trump was even going to do it. He's going to make peace happen over in the Middle East. Now, there's going to be a semblance of peace when the Antichrist gets here. That's how the whole world's going to start. We won't be here, praise God. I hope it's tomorrow. But there's going to be something that looks like peace. And then 3.5 years into that, hell's going to break loose on this earth, and the Jews are going to be punished. And God's going to allow the devil to do that thing to punish them and turn them back to God and get these things straightened out for once and for all when Jesus Christ comes back. But that city, interesting thing, we talk about the city, the Vatican City. That comes from the word Vatica. Now, I found out something very interesting I never knew about that word, a couple of things. First of all, the Etruscans had the cemetery on the hillside, and they had a goddess named Vatica. And that goddess was the goddess of the underworld that protected they worshiped their dead. Is that surprising? What do they do in Mexico? Day of the Dead? You can go to Kroger's over here and see Day of the Dead stuff in the clearance aisle right now because it's passed and there weren't enough people across the border to buy up all the stuff. You can see it right now. What is it? Skeletons and just wicked Halloween-looking stuff. So they worshiped the dead, and they put them in these tombs above ground mostly, and they had this Vatica, this goddess of the underworld that protected and watched over their dead that they prayed to. Isn't that interesting? Now, why in the world would you call yourself a Christian or a vicar of Christ and put your place on something like that? Well, it's going to get more interesting. Hang on. So first of all, what's that? I hope we don't finish this study. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. All the way down to my toenails, I mean that. Constantine, the first Catholic emperor, he built a sanctuary there on the side of that where that cemetery was. It was already called Vaticanus Hill then. And a few centuries later, the papal palace was built right there. Right on the place where they worship the dead. Isn't that something? God, our God, is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Amen. Right? Think about this. That's a Bible statement. And think about where they built that place. I'm telling you, I'm not making this stuff up, and I'm not just anti-Catholic. I'm anti-Roman Catholicism religion. Because it's anti-Christ. And everything in this world that you see that's anti-Christ is connected to it. Even the Muslims. You see, they're not bringing the Methodist into the fold, they're bringing them back. They're not bringing the Presbyterians into the fold, they're bringing them back. They're not bringing the Lutherans into the fold, they're bringing them back. They're not trying to bring the Muslims into the fold, they're bringing them back. All that stuff come out of the same mess. So what do you mean? I mean, it's all pagan religion. And the symbology is just amazing. The symbols and stuff that they use over there. Another interesting thing, and I'll wrap this up. Vatica, I never knew this blew my mind when I heard this. Vatica has another word, another meaning, another definition. You know what it is? Remember we talked about the wine? Vatica is the name of a very bitter grape that the peasants used to make wine with. And they would take that wine and they would mix it with an herb, and I don't know what it is, and if you want to know, you got a problem, you need to get right with God after I tell you this. But they would mix it with this particular herb, and they would have visions. And they would call them prophetic visions. You know what those old jokers over there are having? They're having visions. I mean, Mary crying and all kinds of stuff. But that bitter grape, isn't that something? Vatica, bitter grape. She's got that cup full of tainted blood that represents the blood of the Antichrist, at best the blood of man, which is tainted. And in that name of the city that they, this is the head of their political organization and their religious organization, also means bitter grape, which they made very bitter wine with. Isn't that interesting? Now I bet you a Methodist, a Presbyterian, and four Lutherans couldn't talk you out of believing that after this study. But one Baptist could if you're not careful. And there are a lot of them out there that are trying to do it. So, I mean, you make the decision. I'm not going to tell you what to believe. I'm just going to lay it out there, lay the evidence out there, and see what you think. But I can tell you one thing. Something wicked going on over there. A lot wicked going on over there. Father, we sure love you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for a Bible where we can discern truth. Your Spirit guides us. Your Word is Spirit. Your Word is life. We thank you for it. Lord, here we are in the last days watching things come together in a crazy fashion and a crazy timing. And Lord, we thank you again that you had given us some discernment to not go down these wrong roads. And Lord, here we are and we're talking about the evils of the world and the devil. And Lord, I know that only you can deal with the devil. We ask for your protection on this church. You build a hedge of protection about our minds and our hearts and our souls, Lord, that you'd help us to be right with you. And Lord, as we study these things and you reveal truth to us, help us to understand that you're the only answer to these problems. And we just have to stay as close to you as we can and realize that you're going to call us out of here one day soon. Lord, come quickly. We ask you to call us out of here soon, Lord. And we ask you to bless the church in the meantime, your church that believes your word, that's following your Spirit, the Christ. And we love you and thank you for everything you do for us. And I ask you to bless the upcoming prayer meeting. You'd guide Scott as he leads it. And bless us through the evening. In Jesus' name, amen.